Welcome to the Blue Creek Outdoors Podcast, where we're talking faith, family, sports, and the great outdoors. And welcome back to the Blue Creek Outdoors Podcast. I am Joe Bartlett.
And I am Austin Seidler.
And this will be our last episode until 2024. Ooh-wee. I'm number 16. We did 16 weeks in a row, which I know for like real life actual podcasters isn't a big deal, but to me, that feels like kind of a big deal.
I think we reached a milestone when we hit week 7. It's like, all right, cool. We're actually doing this.
Yeah, it kind of felt like we got a nice groove, and it kind of helped. I'm glad we started with the college football season because that kind of drove my thought process every week, which was helpful. So I'm glad we did that. But I'm ready to, and on some years, I'm anticipating that we like won't. That Christmas won't fall on a Monday and New Year's will fall on a Monday. Like, so I'm assuming in some years we might not take like actually two weeks in a row off, but it'll just kind of play it by ear on a yearly basis. But I am looking forward to just the next couple of weeks of like hanging out and watching football and then coming back at the first Monday of the year, the second Monday, I guess what it would be. I can't remember what it'd be, but
yeah, I think that Monday there's gonna be a lot of football to talk about, a lot of different trips that we've been on. That's gonna be jam-packed, but yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to spending time with family, being able to build up my sleep bank again. I'm definitely looking forward to that
big time. And this one's gonna be jam-packed as well, because we're gonna just briefly touch on all the bowl games that got played and the ones that are to be played. But first and foremost, we'll start off here. I got Aiden with me, so he's playing with toys in the background. So I don't know if that'll jack yet. I don't know if you'll be able to hear that or not, but if you do, he's playing with some blocks right now. But that being said, last night, Missoula, Montana, Washington Whitley Stadium, North Dakota State, Montana, Bree and I decided to take Aiden, which we thought was either going to be fine or a really bad idea. Luckily we bundled him up. We got these big earmuffs for him, so like that we take him when we go shooting and stuff, and he wore those, and he was happy as a clam the entire game, and slept through the third quarter. So turned out luckily.
That was one of the most important quarters.
I know, and it turned out to be just fine taking him, and he survived. By the end of the game, it was pretty cold. My toes were about to fall off. We did have him really – he wants up here now. Okay, so we did have him really bundled up, and he did pretty good. So I was really thankful that he did as good as he did, because that game was incredible. A double overtime win for the Grizzlies in Missoula against North Dakota State. That was wild. I told you that an over-under of 59.5 was bonkers.
They reached that in before halftime, didn't
no,
they?
No. Halftime was like, what was halftime? Halftime was 10-6 or 10. What the heck was halftime?
Yeah.
Let me see here. No, I don't even think they – let me see. I'm going to have to – they didn't hit it until double overtime, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it was 10-6.
Yeah, 10-6 at halftime. 31-29 is the final score in double overtime. The bittersweet moment is that the brothers, Ryder Meyer on the Grizz and Tucker Meyer on North Dakota State, were on opposite sidelines, but pretty pumped for Ryder to go play in a national championship as a player, coming from a small town, Montana, to playing for the Grizz now to a national championship. That's pretty wild.
Oh, I think it's going to be a fantastic experience. And I mean, the love-hate part of all of that is the family is still going to be able to go and spend it together and, you know, enjoy each other's time and watch Ryder play for a national championship, because it's a huge feat in general just to be put on that stage. And the fact that you can be out on the field during something of that magnitude, I think it's still a fantastic opportunity for the family. So for sure. excited for the Myers, you know, great job.
For sure. We'll back it up a little bit. I thought the NAIA title game was this weekend. It's actually tomorrow, Monday, December 18th. I think it's a noon kickoff. I think it is. But number one Northwestern versus number three Kaiser in Durham, North Carolina. I will be watching that game. I'm going to be home for the next few days. We did. I ended up not going on our very last filming trip due to some vehicle issues, which kind of stunk, but it did allow me to spend a little bit more time at home. But tomorrow's games are the NAIA National Championship and the Toastery Bowl, which we'll talk about here later. But so the NAIA play our title game is tomorrow. There's no other really news in the NAIA except for, I don't know if you saw this, Dickinson State is becoming a full Frontier Conference member starting in 2025.
Really? What? So what does that mean for the rest of the Lone Star Conference? I thought they were thinking about merging the entirety of it.
The North Star Conference is...
North Star.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. And remember earlier in the season, we also talked about there was two other schools that were considering joining the Frontier as well. I cannot remember who they were at the moment, but I don't know what's happened to the North Star. I know that a lot of those schools are kind of looking at other avenues. I know that Jamestown's talking about going Division II, which I don't know why in the world you would go Division II as Jamestown. But yeah, no, I know that's happening. I know there's going to be – so there's going to be some movement from the North Star to the Frontier here in the next couple of years. We'll see how that works out. But the Friday night – on Friday night, I watched two football games, the Division III National Championship and the other FCS quarterfinal, South Dakota State and Albany. I will say this. They were on at the exact same time, so I was flipping back and forth during commercials. And probably within like 10 minutes of the first quarter, I wasn't really flipping back to the South Dakota State game anymore.
No, that was a schlacking.
South Dakota State wins in their semifinal against Albany 59-0. There was turnovers, there were big plays, it was very quickly out of the gate. That game was decided.
Yeah, you can't turn the ball over four times. I mean, it doesn't matter, like 300 total yards, whatever, but four turnovers, man.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. And,
you don't deserve to score.
No. I don't think Albany played the greatest, and I think South Dakota State played amazing. And when you play amazing, and luck just bounces your way when that happens. So, all those factors combined, and Albany traveled. I mean, heck, to Idaho the previous week, and then to South Dakota State this week. So that's, I mean, there's probably a lot of factors in it. You know, you wonder how much sleep the Albany guys were getting. You wonder what their travel schedule's like. You wonder how many practices they got in. I mean, all of those. But at the same time, South Dakota State was just the better football team, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, they are a well-oiled machine. So the fact that they can go in and, I mean, they've put up now two donuts.
Yeah.
Or close to in these FCS playoffs.
Yep.
Which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
They're so good, man.
They dished Mercer a zero.
Yeah.
In the second round, and now this one in the semis.
Yeah. So,
I got to give you props, like mad props to that defensive coordinator. If you're not moving up the next division, I don't know what you're doing.
For sure. The other game that night was the D3 National Championship, which actually turned out to be one heck of a game. You know, the Stag Bowl coming in hot for a great game. Cortland won the national championship versus North Central. I did a little more research. North Central won last year, won the Chipper. And Cortland has never been to a national championship ever before. And they stopped North Central on a 2-point conversion to win the game.
Let's go.
Yeah. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal, man. It was like one of the best games of the weekend, besides the other FCS semifinal. It was a phenomenal game. So, you know, one day we need to quit talking about it one of these years, and we just need to go to the NAIA game. We need to go to the D3 game, the D2 game. One of these years, we'll just like pick each one to go to, and we'll make that happen. Because I think it'd be cool to go to every level of national championship. I think that'd be sweet.
Oh yeah, let's definitely get that plan. Because I know we're slowly knocking out bowl games that are going on, and we have a couple of them that we typically go to every year, but. That, I think, just with the timing of all of them, definitely the NAIA D2, D3 is going to be on the list.
And then on Saturday, the Division II National Championship, which was a surprise to me, number 2, Harding, won at the Colorado School of Mines, ranked number 1, 38-7.
Spanked.
Not a close game at all in any way, shape, or form. Harding had zero turnovers and 550 yards of offense.
Woo!
So... obviously they made a statement about who was the better team in that regard. They finished the season 15-0, completely undefeated. which is pretty wild. In the D3 game, Cortland was, I think, 13-1, and North Central was 14-0. So both teams finished the season 14-1. There will be no undefeated team in the D3, but one undefeated team in the D2, which is kind of cool. So, and then,
dude, here's something crazy about the Harding game. They only ran two pass plays. They were 2 for 2 for 46 yards, but had 504 rushing yards.
Oh my gosh. What?
Yeah.
That game was going on, dude, during the Montana game. So I was just like checking the score, but I didn't.
Do they run the wing T? Like, what is that? That is a trouncing.
I'm going to have to look at that. That's pretty wild.
That's wild. They had three guys have plays greater than 60 yards.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
Yeah. Let's see. Blake De La Cruz ran for 212. Braden Jay ran for 161 with three scores. Omar Sinclair, 74 yards. And then Jalen Spicer, he ran for 23 yards, had a touchdown. And then their quarterback ran for 20 yards and a touchdown. Crazy.
That's nuts. That's incredible. I didn't see those stats. That's
wild. Wow. That's wild. That's what we're talking about, how the running game wins you championships.
Yes, absolutely.
In the championship. That's nuts.
There was several bowl games this weekend, but they all I was able to get in on a few of them, but like I said, we were at the Montana North Dakota State game, which, man, that's a once in a lifetime game on the semifinal stage to be able to be at and to be able to see. I don't have the words for that game. That was absolutely incredible. The only cool thing, well, we'll talk about something else here in a little bit, but we'll just go through these games really quick here. The Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Ohio. I just want to say I called all of them but one.
Same. I called all of them but one, as well, actually two of them. The Myrtle Beach Bowl, Ohio versus Georgia Southern. I had picked Ohio to win that game. Ohio wins 41-21. I did think that was a bit of a mismatch, which it turned out to be. The Celebration Bowl, Florida A&M versus Howard, 30-26. I did pick Florida A&M, but I thought it was a much closer game than I thought that would be.
Whenever you have these kind of games, I'm glad it came down to, you know, a one possession game, but at the end of the day, A&M, you know, did what they've done all season. I mean, they're 12-1 now, so that's,
yeah,
they were almost expected to win at that point.
For sure. I actually need to get three of these wrong because I got the next one gone wrong. The New Orleans Bowl, Jacksonville State versus Louisiana. I thought Louisiana's experience and pedigree would take effect here in this game, but Jacksonville State wins their first bowl game, 34-31, in overtime in the New Orleans Bowl, which is a cool that's a cool thing for their program.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I know I watched the last three quarters, well, the third and fourth quarter and overtime, and it was, how do I say this? Jacksonville State got a stop on the first drive of overtime.
Yeah.
The Louisiana kicker missed the field goal. They got their opportunity, marched the ball down the field. They never put it in the air once.
Yep.
Chip shot, walk-off field goal. Fantastic. Congrats to them playing in their first bowl game.
I actually I was watching this game on my phone during halftime of the Grizz game. And then when the third quarter started was when overtime started. But I like started it right when Jacksonville State scored a touchdown with what, like 90 seconds left or a minute or something like that to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, no.
Tied it up, which was fantastic. And then Louisiana tried to march it down the field. They didn't get past the 50. Ended it, went into overtime. And just like every overtime game, there's a lot on the line. It would have been cool to see Louisiana, you know, get out of the season with a winning record. Unfortunately, Jacksonville State, they just had a little bit more sauce.
A little bit more to it than that, and they took away the win. The next bowl game was the Cure Bowl, Appalachian State versus Miami, Ohio. I picked Appalachian State to win this game. I will say this, that was in the minority. Only 47% of pickers picked the App State Mountaineers to win that football game, and they win 13-9 in the Cure Bowl, which, you know, I mean, when a middle-of-the-road Sun Belt team beats your – well, did App State play in the Sun Belt Championship just because Jacksonville State and James Madison could not, I believe, right? They played Troy in the Sun Belt Championship.
Yep.
So they
and I believe they won. No, they
lost.
Yeah, they lost 49-23.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they beat the MAC champion in Miami, Ohio, 13-9 in a good game. I did not get a chance to watch any of that game. The next one was the New Mexico Bowl, which I'm not going to lie to you, was quite the surprise. I
didn't think it was going to be this big of a separation. Fresno State wins 37-10.
Yeah,
kind of crazy. They must not have turned the ball over.
I couldn't believe it. Now
I didn't watch
it. We talked about this one, right? Like I was like, I hope Fresno State wins, but I don't think they're going to. I think New Mexico State's going to come in here and win the bowl game. But there was like 30,000 people at this bowl game, which for the New Mexico, hold on. Oh my goodness. Good golly.
Pleasure.
I'm going to cut that out of there.
Oh, you forgot to cut the whole heater thing out of the last one.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Somebody texted me, was like, I thought it was super cute that you guys didn't edit out Joe turning the heater off.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, no, he didn't. Yep.
Dang.
Yep. It was really cute because it was just like this awkward silence. And then you come back, it's like, how's that sound now? It's like, oh, the click turning it off was louder than the actual heater. Oh, okay, cool. And then we just get back into it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right.
It's raw, baby.
I don't like that at all. That embarrasses the heck out of me. And I might keep this in here then. We'll see. But anyways, good gracious. All right. We talked about the New Mexico Bowl. They had a really big attendance, which makes sense with New Mexico State in there. But I honestly thought New Mexico State would win the football game. But and I picked them to. But I'm happy that Fresno State went in there and wins the New Mexico Bowl. That's awesome.
I take back my previous statement that they must not have turned the ball over. They did turn the ball over twice. But at the same time, you're putting up 500 yards of total offense. Good job, Fresno State.
Dang.
You got out of that little hole you dug yourself into late in the season. So congrats on winning a bowl game.
Getting a bowl win. That's a big deal. The next one disappointed me by a lot.
You're telling me.
Because at halftime, I thought we were sitting pretty.
Yeah, you score on your first four drives. Each time you get on the field, you score something. That is basically a recipe for success going into it. Granted, you know, Boise State only put up field goals those first three and then finally scored a touchdown with a one-yard handoff to George Lani to cap off a great career. He finds the end zone later in the game, but man, I'm pretty butthurt about it because we started off so hot, and then UCLA's starting quarterback goes down, which I hope everything's fine. I'm not sure what took him out of the game, but they had a veteran step in as their backup, and he went off.
Yeah,
this is his time to shine.
You wonder how much of it, too, was the absence of Talen Green, which did that surprise you when Talen Green jumped in the portal?
A little bit.
Yeah.
It really did, and he's already committed to Arkansas.
Yeah, which is weird, I feel like. I don't know. I don't know. You wonder how much of that loss had to do with the absence of Talen Green. But anyways, UCLA wins the LA Bowl against Boise State 35-22. And the last bowl game of the night yesterday was the Independence Bowl. Texas Tech wins versus Cal 34-14, which I'm happy about because Wyoming beat Texas Tech earlier in the season. And like I said, I'm a big fan of teams that Wyoming beat winning their bowl games. So that's awesome. Now, upcoming games. We're gonna go through these pretty rapid fire because there's a lot of them left, and we may or may not. Well, we'll probably go through them briefly at least when we come back after the first of the year. But we'll just go through these really quickly. Tomorrow, Monday, December 18th, the Toastry Bowl, Western Kentucky versus Old Dominion. Who do you got?
Ooh, I gotta go Western Kentucky.
Same. I am picking Western Kentucky as well. They had a harder season. They have a better record. I just think that's going to be the way that football game goes. On Tuesday, the Frisco Bowl, UTSA versus Marshall. Who do you got?
I'm going to go Marshall.
Ooh, I'm going.
Let's go Thundering Herd.
Okay, I'm going UTSA Roadrunners. I think they're going to pull out the win. On the 21st is the Boca Raton Bowl, South Florida versus Syracuse. Who do you got?
Syracuse all the way.
Same with me. Let's go orange. Friday the 22nd is the Gasparilla Bowl, the UCF Knights versus the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Who do you got?
I'm going to take UCF. They beat Boise State, so it just looks better if they win a bowl game.
Right, and I think they also beat Oklahoma State by a fairly comfortable margin, so I think UCF beats Georgia Tech in that bowl game. On Saturday the 23rd, we have several bowl games, the first one being the Camellia Bowl, Northern Illinois versus Arkansas State.
Ooh, I'm going to go Arkansas State.
Same. I'm going to go Arkansas State as well. The next one is the Birmingham Bowl, Duke versus Troy.
I was looking at this one earlier, and man, I love the fact that Troy has, you know, won the Sun Belt Championship, but Duke has been playing a little bit better in the ACC. I'm gonna take Duke.
I'm gonna take Troy.
As much as I want Troy to win, I'm gonna take Duke.
I'm gonna take Troy. I think that they beat Duke, but either way, that's actually one of my top 10 bowl games I'm looking forward to this year.
Oh, it's gonna be a good one. Same thing with this next one.
Yeah, the Armed Forces Bowl, Air Force and James Madison. I'm going Air Force, but the vast majority of people have picked James Madison.
Yeah, I want Air Force to win. Mountain West, let's do it. But James Madison's first bowl game?
Yeah.
How do you root against them?
Here's how I root against them. I watched them play Utah State this season, and both of them were hot garbage. They barely hung on to beat Utah State, who is 6-6. They're actually playing in our next bowl game, but like, I think if Air Force,
how are they hot garbage if they're 11-1?
Because they played a cupcake schedule. I don't think they played a good schedule at all.
Dude, it's their first time playing in the FBS.
I know that, but they don't have a win on their schedule that I'm like, wow, holy cow, like, you're here, you know? This is what I think. I think if Air Force plays the way they did early in the season, this is not even a close football game, which I think has a potential to be what happens. However, only 18% of people have picked Air Force to win, so we'll see. But you're picking James Madison?
No, I'm picking Air Force.
Okay, we both pick Air Force. That's awesome.
I'm not going to be upset if James Madison wins, basically.
Yeah, I got what you're saying. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Utah State versus Georgia State. I am picking Utah State to win this football game.
Ditto. Same thing. Let's go Mountain West. And we play – Boise State plays Georgia Southern to kick off the season next year. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. The 68 Ventures Bowl, the Eastern Michigan Eagles and the South Alabama Jaguars. I'm going with South Alabama.
USA, baby.
There you go. Also on the 23rd, still on the 23rd, this is a loaded day here. The Las Vegas Bowl, Northwestern and Utah. I am picking the Utah Utes. However, it would be kind of wild for all the offseason turmoil that the Northwestern Wildcats endured this year to come back.
Why do we keep bringing this up?
Dude, I don't think we've actually talked about it on the podcast, which is probably a good idea because this is a family-friendly show, and the turmoil that took place at Northwestern probably isn't a fitting subject for that. But, hey, they came back. They're 7-5. They're going to a bowl game, but I think they're going to get the brakes beat off of them by Utah.
Hey, let's go Utes. I definitely think that Utah is gonna take this home. So, I would laugh. I really hope that when Utah scores a touchdown, they have a touchdown celebration associated with what went on.
Line up for a car wash, boy. All right. The very last game. Lord, I apologize. The very last game on the 23rd is the Hawaii Bowl, San Jose State and the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. I am picking San Jose State to win that game.
Oh, 100%. Siobhan Cordero is going to finish a wonderful career at San Jose State and hopefully get drafted this next year. Let's go Spartans.
On the 26th, we have three football games. The first one is the Quick Lane Bowl, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and the Bowling Green Falcons. Minnesota is the only 5-7 team to get picked for a bowl game. Here's what I don't understand. The winner of the Army-Navy game finished 6-6, but there were no bowl games left with Army-Navy ties that hadn't already been decided who was going to play. So I'm a little decided that I'm a little disappointed they just didn't take Army and put him in the quick lane bowl.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, granted, the quick lane bowl,
I don't think you should enter a bowl game with a losing record. Well, you could be 6-7, you still have a losing record. Don't get chosen.
Well, a losing record isn't the criteria. The criteria is 6 wins, because technically, like Hawaii, who plays 13 games every year, could go 6-7 and be bowl eligible. So 6 wins is the criteria. It doesn't the losses typically don't matter, but there weren't.
But Minnesota has 5 wins.
I know, because there weren't enough bowl eligible teams this year to fill all of the bowl game slots, with the exception of Army. But the Quick Lane Bowl is a Big Ten versus MAC bowl game. I'm just a little disappointed they didn't make an exception and roll Army into that bowl game, because there's been years in the past where they were so short of bowl eligible teams that several 5-7 teams play in bowl games. But and just simply for that fact, I hope I'm picking Bowling Green, and I really want them to win.
Agreed. Let's go Bowling Green.
Second game on the 26th is the First Responder Bowl, the Rice Owls and the Texas State Bobcats. I'm going to pick Texas State. I don't know if they've been to – I'll have to look into this. I can't remember if they've been to a bowl game before or not.
That I don't know either, but I'm also going to go with Texas State.
It's not very many if they have been, but the Guaranteed Rate Bowl is next. UNLV and the Kansas Jayhawks. Only 13% of people are picking the UNLV Rebels to win this football game, and I am amongst them. I think UNLV wins the bowl, their Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
I want UNLV to win. Both of these teams have really had a great season, one that has not been what they normally have been in the past. I think the Rebels got it, but the Kansas Jayhawks are playing really good football right now. End all be all. Let's go UNLV.
Yeah, it'll be a good game either way. On Wednesday, the 27th, the Tulane Green Wave and the Virginia Tech Hokies play in the Military Bowl. I have Tulane picked, but I'm wondering what the effect of their head coach leaving is. We shall see, but I still think that they beat Virginia Tech regardless.
Yep, let's go Green Wave.
Also on the 27th is the Mayo Bowl with West Virginia and North Carolina, and I think North Carolina wins that game.
Ditto, North Carolina's got it. I do have something to say about the Duke Mayo Bowl. Your post-game tradition is gross.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
It's the nastiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You pour mayonnaise on people. Come on. That just makes me want to vomit.
I think if it was like a really I don't know. If I was the head coach and I knew we weren't going to win, then I would like avoid a comeback at all costs. Because I wouldn't want to be
covered
in mayo.
You're telling me
mayo.
This is going to be a fight to the death to win this game, but I get doused in mayonnaise.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, sorry, boys. Pack it up.
That's disgusting.
Pack it up.
Also on the 27th, 6 p.m., the Holiday Bowl with USC and Louisville. I think that'll be a decent football game, but I think Louisville wins the football game.
Dude, let's go Louisville. Not that I don't want to see USC take a win, but, you know, they kind of shot themselves in the foot this year. They were set up for success. Obviously, some things happened, and they couldn't pull it out. I'm here for Louisville.
The last game on the 27th is the Texas Bowl with Oklahoma State and Texas A&M, and I think Oklahoma State wins the Texas Bowl.
Let's go, Pokes.
On the 28th, we have a few games. The Fenway Bowl, Boston College and SMU, and I think SMU wins that game.
Same. SMU has got it. Once again, I mean, being 11-2, they're really pulling it out. But Boston College basically gets a home game, so we'll see how that goes.
And I'm Boston College is always kind of considered an underdog in my mind. So like, I'm it's a super old program. I wouldn't be upset if they win that game. That'd be cool. But the next game on the 28th is the Pinstripe Bowl with the Miami Hurricanes and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I think Miami wins that game fairly handily.
Let's go Hurricanes.
The Pop-Tarts Bowl is next with Kansas State and the NC State Wolfpack. This one's a pretty evenly split, 49% and 51%. 51% picking Kansas State. I am picking Kansas State, but I think that'll be a good game.
I'm going to – I'm picking North Carolina State. I watched them play a couple weeks ago, and they're playing really good football. Nothing to take away from Kansas State, but I think the Wolfpack are going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, either way, that's one of the ones I think will be a better game out of all the bowl games. But so is the next one. I'm very excited for the next one, the Alamo Bowl. The last game on the 28th, the Oklahoma Sooners and the Arizona Wildcats. And I am picking, and I hope, the Arizona Wildcats win that game.
Blake is going to be super proud of me when I say this, but let's go Bearcats, go baby. Bearcats. Arizona's, you know, night and day difference. So I think they have momentum on their side right now. So yeah, the Wildcats are going to do it.
I think
bear down.
It's going to be a great game. On the 29th, we have four football games. The first one being the Gator Bowl, Kentucky and Clemson. I am picking Clemson to win that game.
No, let's go Kentucky.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Yep. All the Wildcats are getting W's.
On the at noon on the 29th is the Sun Bowl, which is Notre Dame and Oregon State. And I'm picking Notre Dame to win that football game.
You know, traditionally, I would say let's go Fighting Irish. But with Oregon State kind of at a, you know, they are where they are. I let's go Beavers.
Yeah. And their quarterback left. Their quarterback left. And, you know, I think, yeah, that'll be an interesting football game. I think Notre Dame wins it big, but it'll be interesting to see. The next football game, 1:30 on the 29th, is the Liberty Bowl with Iowa State and Memphis. I would be I'd be pretty sour if I played football for Memphis. And, let's see. Would you like or not like if you got picked to play a bowl game in your home stadium?
Oh, man, would I like or not like? I would probably not like it because during the bowl season, it's an opportunity to go see something new, right. Like go do activities around there. Like whenever teams come play the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, they go to Bogus, they go sledding, they, you know, get all this cool swag, you know, in regards to the area and the sponsors. But like, what are you going to do? Like, we're playing at home. What activities have we not already done yet?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the mind frame when we played football. I was like, I want to go see a new stadium, a new place. Like, I don't know. It'd be kind of cool, I guess. But either way, I think Memphis wins the Liberty Bowl against Iowa State.
Agreed. They have home field advantage. Yeah.
It's literally a home game for them. The 29th at 6 p.m. is the Cotton Bowl with Ohio State and Missouri. I am picking Missouri, and I desperately hope they win it.
What?
Yes. I think that would be amazing. How long was Missouri a doormat? You know what I'm saying?
A long time.
And they dang near weaseled their way into the SEC championship this year.
Almost, but let's go Buckeyes.
I'm not saying that they have a great shot at beating Ohio State. I'm hoping that's what happens, and I'm picking it. I'm going to will this to be what happens.
All right.
But
hey, kudos, because I've already had a couple of weird picks so far, so you can have your Missouri.
On the 30th of December, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, the Penn State Nittany Lions and Ole Miss Rebels. I am picking Penn State to win that game.
Damn, this is the one that I haven't made a decision on yet because I don't know. I think it's going to be a great football game.
Yeah, it's one of the top 10 better bowl games of this year.
Yeah, to be honest with you, if I'm going to break it down, I'm a huge Lane Kiffin fan.
Oh, really?
I love Lane Kiffin. I think like that is a people's coach right there. So you know what? Let's go Rebels.
Penn State's one of those teams. You know, everybody has their like their team that they bleed those colors, right? But then there's like I feel like everybody has like, you know, 5 to 6 teams around the country that you just like them. You like them a lot, you know. And Penn State is one of those teams for me. I just have always really liked Penn State football.
Is that because you went to one of their like kids camps a long time ago?
No, I've never been to Pennsylvania a day in my life. I just always thought Pennsylvania was sweet, or Penn State was sweet. I've always thought Penn State football was awesome.
Hey, dude, it's been linebacker U for, I mean, a long time.
It has been, yeah. The next game on the 30th is the Music City Bowl with the Maryland Terrapins and Auburn Tigers, and I say Maryland wins that game.
Let's go Terrapins.
I'm not picking any team who lost to New Mexico State. No disrespect to New Mexico State, but Maryland wins the game. the Capital One.
I just want the coach to not get a win because he left Boise State. So.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Capital One Orange Bowl that day as well. Florida State and Georgia. Another one where I don't think this is the great odds of happening, but I want Florida State to win and I want them to claim a national championship.
Oh, I like the way you put that. If Florida State has their starting quarterback, I think Florida State legitimately has an opportunity to win the football game. I still think Georgia's going to pull it out, depending on how many starters they have that are going to play that aren't declaring for the draft.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. And I don't think we know all that information yet, but I just really, really hope they win. Now, here's the cool thing. The last FBS football, I would say the last football game to kick off in 2023 on the 30th is the Arizona Bowl with the Wyoming Cowboys and Toledo Rockets. And I think Wyoming Cowboys win that game not close.
Well, I don't think it's not going to be close, but I do think Wyoming is going to pull out the W in one of the most exciting broadcasts in bowl season.
Big fan of the Arizona Bowl podcast. I'm looking forward to it. But Toledo's starting quarterback and one of their starting offensive linemen, who were both massive, massive reasons of their success this fall, have both jumped in the transfer portal.
No.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Why would they do it before a bowl game?
They don't want to get hurt. And they're soft.
What? You're just going to sit at home and you're going to watch TV while your team plays?
Yeah, I think it's a terrible thing to do. I think it's a horrible thing to do.
You realize you get a ring if you win? Like, you still get a ring. And
do they give out rings for bowl games? I thought they just give a trophy.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay. That's
cool. Or at least some of them, I've seen them. Like the Boise State Fiesta Bowl.
The New Year's Six Bowl.
They gave out rings. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You're soft if you do that. I don't have any qualms about saying that, so I don't care. But
you guys are bummed.
The Monday, January 1st, the first football game to kick off at the turn of the year is the ReliaQuest Bowl with LSU and Wisconsin. I think LSU wins that football game.
Yep. Heisman Trophy is going to take home a bowl game trophy as well.
Yep. Also on the first, the Fiesta Bowl, Oregon and Liberty. Man, I would love it if Liberty won that game, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Oregon Ducks win huge.
Yeah, I think Oregon's going to win this thing by probably 7 possessions.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty. Also on the first is the Citrus Bowl with the Tennessee Volunteers and the Iowa Hawkeyes, and Tennessee wins that game by, I think, at least 2 scores.
As long as Iowa can put up more than 10 points, they might have it in them, but I don't see that happening. Volunteers are taking up Citrus Bowl trophy.
I don't think that happens either. Now, that brings us to our CFP semifinals. The first one kicks off on the 1st at 3 p.m., Michigan and Alabama. I think this is one of the better football games of our entire season, and I think Michigan wins.
I think whoever wins this game wins the national championship.
Same. I believe that as well.
Yep. Not taken away from Texas or Washington. I just don't think they have the docket going into it. And go blue, man. They need something right now because they've made it these last couple of years and they've really built back their winning tradition. And a win over Alabama at the Rose Bowl be killer.
Yeah. And for the next semifinal, kicks off at 6:45 p.m. the Sugar Bowl, Washington and Texas. I want Texas to win, but I think Washington wins the football game.
I see it the other way around. I want Texas to win, but I think Washington will win.
That's what I just said.
But, no, excuse me. I think, yeah, Washington, Texas, no, Texas is going to win, but I want Washington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. The other way around. Only because I want an exciting national championship. And I think if Texas is playing the winner of Alabama, Michigan, or, you know, a Texas, Michigan national championship would be more exciting and, you know, a higher level of play than Washington. Now, not taken away from Washington, I just don't think they're going to be able to step up to the Big Ten or to the SEC.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but you're right. I do think the winner of Michigan-Alabama wins the game, and the national championship will be on Monday, December 8th. The FCS championship with South Dakota State and Montana. January. Say what?
Oh, you said FCS?
No, I said the division. The FBS is on Monday, December 8th. The FCS is on Sunday.
January 8th.
January 8th, yep. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean, yep, I misspoke there. Sunday, January 7th is South Dakota State versus Montana for the FCS chipper. Monday, January 8th is the college football national championship for the FBS games. And that will conclude our college football season, which, man, you go from August to December. That's a good chunk of the year. It feels like it's been a long haul. But moving forward from there, we'll keep track of the coaching carousel. We'll keep track of the new Mountain West Conference schedules are out for next fall. So we'll talk about those. We'll talk about any other transfers, anything else that has gone on. And recent news, like we said, Taylen Green transferred to Arkansas. Tim Polasek, Wyoming's offensive coordinator, has taken the head coaching job at North Dakota State. North Dakota State's head coach announced earlier this week that he is going to USC to be on the staff at USC. And Andy Avalos was hired at TCU as their new defensive coordinator. So let's see if he can have more luck just as a defensive coordinator than he had as a head coach at Boise. But other than that, we're kind of wrapping up our college football season here.
Yeah, it's been the long haul, but I got to tell you, man, I've had an absolute blast this whole time. You know, being able to talk about something that I thoroughly enjoy, and now, you know, I'm watching it to talk about it, you know, understand it a little bit more, and then, you know, give my opinion, which I know a lot of people don't want to hear, but I don't care. It's fun to talk about.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome, and we'll have I'm just excited to talk about the off season stuff because it honestly intrigues me as much as the week to week in season stuff as well. So we'll have a great sports section still moving forward, but we'll kind of transition there into a little bit of Blue Creek stuff. We've wrapped up our filming for the year, which was the most successful fall we've had so far, which was pretty awesome. But it was a long fall with a lot of road time, a lot of travel time, and a little bit of burnout. So glad to be home. But we are dropping a little supplemental video on the 15th of every month. So on Friday, we just dropped a little video with Mel Client Safaris on how to field judge bush buck, which was a really kind of a cool little segment. And then on January 1st, our next Africa video will drop. Me and my brother down in South Africa hunting his first African hunt down there, which was pretty cool. So get to see him take his first animal. And then later that day, we were actually surprised by an animal that I have always wanted to hunt, never had an opportunity on. So it kind of came out of nowhere, went from 0 to 100 real quick. And we got to three successful hunts will be on video for January's video, which will be exciting. And then also the first week of January, we'll start our Blue Creek Bible study, which the reason I'm doing that is because, quite honestly, I don't really like any of the Bible studies that I hear. Man, Aiden is playing with cars back here, and it is a little bit noisy, but give me one second. I'm going to see if I can tamper that down for a hot minute.
Chill out over there.
There we go. We'll get rid of that noise for a quick second, but I feel like a lot of the Bible studies and stuff I listen to have a lot of good information, but it's always people that are like either really in their feelings or like, I don't know. Sometimes they use bigger words than I can understand. Like, I don't know. They just make you seem like you're dumber than they are. And I'm like, okay, well, this is stupid. So What we'll start off on Wednesdays is that'll come out. It'll be the equivalent of just reading a few chapters a day, and I'll kind of compile notes from all the ones that I do like. I like their information, but not their presentation, and we'll try to fix that and see if people like it or not. But we'll see how that goes, and we'll be back. What is it, January 8th? I think it is. That first Monday. That's when our next episode will come out. Sweet. I'm already looking forward to it, but we'll recap the bowl games. We'll re-talk any coaching carousel, any conference change, any, conference news for any of the cycles like that. We'll talk our newest video. We'll talk, what's our next thing coming up after the first of the year, 'cause we have a little bit of a break just due to some work related things that Austin and I are both doing. So, as of right now, our next film is scheduled for late February, and, man, I don't know. I'm just excited to take a deep breath and kind of enjoy the holidays a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a good time. I really like this Bible study idea, because I mean, obviously everybody is gonna interpret things differently, and having a presence up on stage and breaking it down to the ridiculous, sometimes it can get a little bit overboard, because it's not necessarily applicable to anything. But I'm excited to start this new year off on a kick, talking about, what we do and kind of the events and different things that we did over the break. And it's going to be a jam packed episode, and we might have to overlap it into the next one unless we want to sit here and talk for 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to see how that goes. But to finish out this episode, our last episode of 2023, being Christmas time and everything like that, what we'll do really quick is we will read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And then we will call it quits for 2023. But instead of having a verse for the show, we're just gonna read this whole story because it's not very long. But so Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heaven's host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and earth peace, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and they had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Merry Christmas, everybody. We hope you get to spend a lot of time with friends and family, and you have a happy new year, and we will see you on January 8th.
Hey, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and happy new year. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate your guys' time, your input, and I can't wait for the next one.